The opinions expressed by the host of the show are his and his only, but we do hope you agree with those. And remember, past performance does not guarantee future results.
We'll begin with a spin, traveling in the world of my creation. What we'll see will defy explanation.
Welcome to another episode of Hobby Quick Hits. I'm your host, John Newman. Thank you for listening. Thank you for giving us some time. This show here that we're going to do today is going to be about organization. And when I say organization, I'm not talking about a business or a group. I'm talking about how to keep your cards. And listen, there's no wrong necessarily way or right way. Everyone has their own style, their own preference of holders. This show was kind of born of a listener messaged me, said, "Hey, John, I know you've done this a long time. Could you do a show about how you organize your inventory?" And I was thinking about doing that show anyway. And then when I got that email, it made perfect sense to do the show. So I'm going to kind of give you a look behind my curtain, so to speak. I've worn many hats in the hobby as a collector, as a 7-year-old, went on to be a show dealer at 15 with a tax number, opened my first store, brick and mortar, at 20 for 4 years, had that, transitioned over to online sales and eBay, and back to doing shows again. And so I've worn many different hats. I've changed my approach to how I store my cards, what vessels the cards are in. And so I'm going to kind of cover that in a short and sweet format. And so the first thing I want to talk about is what your cards go. When I say cards, I'm going to refer to cards of significance, $5 or up. And that's how I at least do it. Again, everyone will have their own rules. I kind of do a $5 and up. That card's going to be in a penny sleeve and in something else. Now, I used to be a top loader guy. Then I switched to semi-rigids. Then I switched back to top loaders. And then I switched back to semi-rigids. And I think that's where I am to stay now. With semi-rigids, for me, they take up less space. I can get more into the cases that hold all my inventory. And I like the way they look in the semi-rigids. They're crystal clear. I put superior fit sleeves on the outside of the semi-rigids. They don't scratch. They don't yellow. The problem I was having with my top loaders is the yellowing. And if you've ever seen a yellow discolored top loader, it's terrible looking. It's really like, it's like nails on a chalkboard, just really annoying. When you do shows and you don't catch that, and it's out and it's in a box, it's a bad look when someone finds it or sees it. And the thing was, I was noticing, and I don't know why it seemed to be the case, you know, obviously over the course of years and being in UV light, the cases, top loaders are going to discolor. But I had some recent top loaders, only maybe a year or two, maybe even 3 years old at the most, starting to discolor. It was happening a little faster than I thought. And I could tell it was a new top loader by what card was in it. It was a fairly recent card. And, you know, it's just kind of discouraging. The other problem with top loaders, it makes my carrying cases heavier. It also, I can put less cards in those carrying cases. And again, semi-rigids to me, I like the feel in the hand. It's just a better feel to me. Yes, I know they're thinner. They look crisper. They're crystal clear with that superior fit sleeve on the outside of the semi-rigid. And so I've went back to being team semi-rigid. But let me break that down even a little bit further. So any card, $3, $4, $5 or up, I'm going to put it in a penny sleeve, in a semi-rigid, and then a superior fit sleeve over the semi-rigid, or I should say the semi-rigid slides into the superior fit sleeve, peel the tape, and seal it up. Now, obviously, you got some thicker cards. Your game used, your thicker stock cards that come out of different products. Those I still use top loaders. They don't fit in semi-rigids, and that's really, truthfully, the only reason. So I do still employ top loaders. I also employ top loaders for my sales that I make online when I ship cards out. So someone might purchase an order of cards from my website or one of my other selling platforms where I have to do the shipping still. And most likely that card is going to be in a semi-rigid. But when I sell it, I'm going to slide it out of that semi-rigid, put it in a top load, put it in a team bag, seal it with whatever else. I'm talking about if it's one or few cards, some business cards for the shows that I do and the businesses that I'm involved with. Seal up the team bag. I always write a little note. Thank you for your purchase. Stay safe. Stay healthy. Those sort of things. And send that package on their way. So I ship with top loaders. I keep my inventory in semi-rigids unless that card is too thick. I also have another personal rule. And again, you can set whatever limits you want or rules you want. You know, I'm just letting you in on how I do things. Anything over about $40, I'll put in a one-touch magnet case, whatever point size is required for depending on the card. And that even that MagTite case will get put into a superior fit sleeve. It's going to sound like an infomercial for superior fit sleeves, but they are the best sleeves on the market. So whether it's a semi-rigid, a top loader for an extra thick game use card, or you know, some sort of card that's just got a thicker point stock, or you know, that $40-$50 card that's in a MagTite, that stuff goes in a superior fit sleeve. Now let me go take it even a step further. Where do these cards get stored? I use a multitude of options here. I use hard cases, which is where I put a lot of my show inventory in. So the hard cases with the handles and the locks are what I take back and forth to shows. And that's my show inventory. Some of my other stuff, you know, I have a $5 and under box, I call it, of game use and autos. That's a, you know, traditional cardboard shoe box. So I employ those. You know, I use monster boxes to put commons until I determine where those commons are going. I've sent commons to various. And when I say commons, there's going to be some semi-stars in there, maybe even a few stars I didn't pull out. But those commons, if you will, in air quotes, I send to various organizations that, you know, recycle them to kids so they can get some cards. There's one organization that I used to use, but they got a little too political for me. I'll leave them nameless. I said my piece on social media about them. And so I don't send my cards there anymore. I have a few other options. I just sent actually a box. A young man named Parker Frederking, who's doing a lot of random acts of kindness and sending free cards to other kids. He was just on the Sports Card Nation podcast with his father, Garrett. I just sent him a $20 flat rate box of those commons and semi-stars to pay it forward. So I'll find something, a situation like that, where someone can utilize the cards. The box prior to Parker's box that I sent him, I sent one to Rich Klein. Many might know that name. Hobby veteran who does a Adat Chevrum show down in Texas, and they make some grab bags and put some things together for the folks at the show. And I sent him a box for that. I've started a new box, and that probably will go back to Rich Klein again. So I'm always trying to pay it forward, utilize everything, you know, when I open product or purchase lots and that sort of thing. And again, I don't open as much wax as I once did, so I don't acquire cards in that form as much as I used to. I used to open quite a bit of wax. I did a whole show to why I don't now, so I'll save time on this one by not going there, but you can look that show up. But so I don't open as much wax now. I acquire my cards via purchases of collections or lots, and so I'll buy lots of cards and collections. I'll buy stuff off eBay, individual cards, and as they come in, I'll put them in their appropriate sleeve and semi-rigid, or depending on the point thickness of the card, they may be top-loaded, or the value of the card, they may be mag-tighted. And so once I get them all in the proper vessel, if you will, into the superior fit sleeve, then what I do is, I told you, like, my show inventory is in those hard cases with the latches and the columns and the rows. And what I do is I break it down by sport, and I go even a step further. It's kind of a little bit, it takes a little time when you first do it, but since I've already established it this way, it's a lot easier to maintain. But what I do is all my stuff, you're going to think I'm nuts here, is in alphabetical order. So if you say, hey, show me your Ronald Acunas, I can go into my hard cases and pull out a whole stack of Acunas. If you say, show me your Patrick Mahomes, I can go to the football hard case, and then again, it's in alphabetical order, kind of guess where that might be in that box, see what that last name is, and get a bead on where the card. So it's very easy for me to find individual players, which helps when selling, not only at shows, but on mail order or online sales. You know, someone buys a card, I don't have to look through a ton of cards to find that one card. I'll be able to find it within minutes, if not less. And makes shipping, when I do have to ship myself, a lot easier, a lot quicker. And, you know, obviously with selling platforms now, a lot of them are kind of doing that for you when you mail your cards to them, your ComCs, your Star Stocks, and those groups. But, you know, we still have other platforms, your eBays, your Sport Lots, online website in my case, where you make sales and you're still required to do that legwork and shipping. And so it's a lot easier for me when I can find that card quick, get it out of that case, get it in a bubble mailer, get it in a team bag, you know, get it in a team bag, seal it up with some business cards, a few extra cards sometimes I throw in, a nice little thank you note, into that bubble mailer, tape it up, ship it out, bing bang, walla walla bing bang, real quick, right? And so my stuff's in alphabetical order. Now, when I made that decision about 8 years ago to do that with my inventory, I'm not going to lie to you, took me about 3 or 4 days to do it. And when I say days, like almost full days. I know I started on Saturday and Sunday, put in a lot of hours on both of those days, continued on Monday. I think I took off from work, not necessarily for that reason, but I had it off. So there was day number 3, and then finished it up after work on day number 4. So it took 3.5 days, if you will. My wife, you know, put an APB out on me, like, where you been? You've been upstairs in your office for 2 days. You all right? You know, and I, you know, I did tell her obviously what I was doing, so she knew, but she didn't realize it was going to be that time-consuming of a venture. And I actually didn't know it was going to take that long. You know, I remember in the process of switching over to putting everything in alphabetical order, I remember myself saying, man, you know, really second thoughts, like, do you want to keep going? This is going to take longer than you thought. But I was already had started, and I'm like, we got to finish this race here. And so took me 4 days, three and a half, more accurately. Time-consuming, but I tell you what, the time it saves me when I have to find cards, it's worth that 3.5 day initial, you know, workload to for the convenience of future sales. Even when I set up at shows, I know where my cards are. I put them out in the cases, literally, in that sort of order as well. And so if someone at a show says, "Hey, I'm looking for, you know, Dwight Gooden cards," whatever, I'm just making up random names, I know where in the cases that's most likely to be found. And it's just saves me a lot of time across the board in shipping at shows. And so that initial time investment, and time is an investment, I don't care what anyone else tells you or how enjoyable it is, and it is, you know, if you love cards and you have a passion for it, it's enjoyable, but it's still your time. You could be doing something else. So that 3.5 initial day investment is worth all the time it's saved me after doing that. And it's probably added up to more than 3.5 days. You know, when I acquire new inventory, I obviously have to catalog it, put it in its proper holder, to, you know, like I described before, and then put it in the alphabetical order, which it already exists. So if I get a new Mattingly, I buy a collection, and I got 3 new Mattinglys in that collection that got to go with the rest of the Mattinglys. I find the M's, and they go right with them. And so that initial time is where it really took the longest. And then now with purchases, it's not as time-consuming. It's easier and just makes my time more economical, more time to do other things besides cards. That's a big thing to me. I want to, you know, enjoy life, do other things. I love the cards, folks. Don't take that as an indictment that I'm looking to get out or I've lost my passion for it. But I have passion for a lot of different things. I want to spend time with my family. I want to spend time outside with a stogie, enjoying the hot tub, or just sitting in the sun with a nice cold drink in that stove, whatever's your thing. I play softball still on Friday nights, and so I want to cut down as much of my card time and make it as economical as possible, so I have time for those other things as well. And I've done, you know, took me years to sort of hone my skill, but I'm at that point now with the alphabetical order thing. A few more things as we come down the home stretch here. Rookies. You know, we opened products, right? Especially back a few years ago when I was opening heavy products. I mean, lots of stuff. And, right, you get rookies, right? You pull some rookie cards. They're not top prospects. But you always, you know, especially in baseball, you know, there's always that guy that not highly touted and then just kind of comes out of the blue from sort of nowhere. And then you got a, you know, a lot of other people have to look through 4 monster boxes of commons, if you will, to find all the cards of this guy. A recent example that definitely probably fits this description: Shane Bieber, pitcher for the Cleveland Indians. He was never a bad pitcher, but he's not highly touted, or you know, no one really figured he'd become a number one in the way that he has. And so, you know, I was able to find all my Shane Biebers because I do something what I call my rookie boxes. And so when you open a product and you get those second, third, fourth tier, or just unheralded rookies, I put all of them. If there's a rookie logo on the card, whether it's not a good rookie or it's Zion Williamson, all rookies get at least a penny sleeve to designate them as rookies. Even if it's a 10-cent rookie, it's going to get a penny sleeve because it's a rookie and not a complete base card. And then what I do is I have monster boxes. I call my rookie monster boxes. I have index dividers, and they all have, you know, I have an A, I have a B and C and all and so on all the way to Z. And I do it by last name. And so whenever I pull rookies out of product that I'm opening, you know, they get that penny sleeve treatment. And then they go in front of the appropriate letter. So when I had to find all my Shane Biebers, when his stuff started to really rise and take off, all I had to do was go to the baseball rookie box, look in the B's, and pull out all the Bieber rookies, okay? It saved me a lot of time. Otherwise, if I had just had those rookies in not alphabetical order and just in boxes, even by sport, I have probably about three monster boxes worth of baseball rookies. If I just threw them all in there and in no particular order, I'd have to go through 10,000 cards to find the 15 Bieber cards I wound up finding. Now, because I'm organized like that, it took me 1 minute to go through 150 baseball players with the last name of B that I have rookie cards of to find the 15 Biebers in that lot. So much less time consuming. Whenever I do open new product, like again I said, I put the rookie cards in the soft sleeves, into their appropriate in front of that letter, and I do that for all the four major sports: baseball, basketball, football, and hockey. So I can find it on a dime. And so when a player breaks out, no matter what sport it is, you know, Darius Bazley, who just broke out in the NBA, I went to the B's in my basketball box, and I actually had a lot of Bazley. I pulled out about 30 Darius Bazleys in like a minute and 30 seconds. I didn't have to look through, you know, two or three basketball rookie monster boxes to just find the Bazleys. I did it rather quickly. So it's my alphabetical rookie boxes. Folks, if I remember, I'm old, I'll try to remember. If I remember, I'll post some pictures of what I'm describing in this episode on my Twitter timeline for the hobby, for Hobby Quick Hits, which, by the way, is at Hits Hobby, HitsHobby. So look for a picture. I'll show you these rookie boxes. I'll show you the cases that I use and how I have them in alphabetical order. One last thing I want to kind of close with. So I grade cards. I buy and sell graded cards. And obviously when I open or acquire cards, some of these cards that I pull out of packs or buy in collections or lots are always going to be potential grading candidates. And so how do I separate? How do I organize even further? So I sell on StarStock, I sell on ComC, and SportLots. And so, and like I said, I do a lot of grading. So I use, they're great. I love these things. Again, I'm not getting paid to promo these things. I'm just giving you my honest assessment of these products. You know, if they're listening and they appreciate the plug and they want to send me something, reach out to me. But all joking aside, so I use Ultra Pro top loader boxes. And if you've seen these Ultra Pro, again, I'll post pictures on my social media once this episode airs. If you're familiar with the top loader boxes from Ultra Pro, they're, you know, a little bigger than top loader size, and they're made to fit top loaders. Probably, I think, 35 to 40 fit in there. I don't use many top loaders, like I said, and more semi-rigid. So more semi-rigids actually fit in there. And same thing. It fits anything. It fits magnetics. It fits semi-rigids, top loaders. The only thing that won't fit in an Ultra Pro top loader box is a graded card in a slab. They won't fit in there. But at pretty much anything else, you know, top loader, semi-rigids, just the soft sleeves, magnetics will all fit in these top loader boxes. And so I have four of them. And I use my labeler and I put labels on them. One box says StarStock. One says ComC. One says grading candidates. And one says sport lots. And so when I acquire collections or inventory from purchases or lots or an eBay purchase, or I open some wax and these cards fit in these descriptions. So if I get cards and I say, man, send those to ComC, I'll put those in that ComC Ultra Pro Top Loader box. If I say, man, that's going to Star Stock, based on their criteria, I think it'll be a better fit for Star Stock, I put those cards in the Star Stock Ultra Pro Top Loader box. If it's going to Sport Lots, I'm going to put it in the Sport Lots Ultra Pro Top Loader box. Now, if you know, familiar with Sports Lots, you know, Comp C and Star Stock, you send them the inventory, they do all the legwork. They scan your photos, you just log on when they put it in the inventory and price your stuff. Sport Lots, obviously, you have to list it on the site yourself. The cards remain in your possession. If and when they sell, you are required for shipping. But I still put the Sport Lot cards in the Sport Lot box so I know which ones get listed. I list them, they come out of there, and then they go into a Munster box. That's my Sport Lots Munster box, where those are cards that are listed on Sport Lots. And I do that by sport. Unfortunately, that's not in alphabetical order. It is by sport. So when I sell a card, I have to sort of look through that sport. I do try to keep the players together. So my Mike Trout Sport Lot cards are going to be usually all together. So if I sell a Trout, I can find it fairly quickly if it's sold off Sport Lots. And then my last Ultra Pro box is my grading candidate box. And so if I get a card, whether it's a purchase or out of a pack, that I feel is a potential candidate to get graded, I will put it in that graded Ultra Pro Top Loader box. And then when it's time to submit a grading order, I will go through that box and look at that stuff a lot closer with a lighted jeweler's loop, a magnifier, under an LED lamp. And obviously the ones that pass that inspection will then be submitted for grading. And so, you know, when do I send to Comp C or when do I send to Star Stock? When that, you know, Ultra Pro Top Loader box gets filled, I know it's time to ship that off. I get it packaged up, shipped off to that selling platform and start anew. Now I have the empty Comp C box, Star Stock box, and as I acquire new inventory or open stuff, those boxes start to fill up again. It's like a cycle. And it's just a lot easier to keep me organized. It works really well for me. I just wanted to share some of these things based on it was a show I thought about doing, like I said, and then I got the email and it just made kind of perfect sense to share how I do my cards and my organization, especially. And it doesn't matter whether you're a seller like me or a collector, you can probably take little bits and pieces of what I do, or even more than that. Again, that's the beauty of the hobby, how you choose to enjoy it, how do you choose to organize your inventory, your collection, that's up to you. I just wanted to share some things that work for me. You may listen to this and say, oh, I kind of like that. That makes sense. Or you might say, that won't work for me, or I'm not fond of that. And that, again, that's the beauty of the hobby. So I hope you got something from what I shared. It was a pleasure talking about it and, you know, being reminded that it took almost 4 days to get my inventory in alphabetical order. But it's really been a time saver on the back end since doing that. And I wouldn't take a mulligan there. You know, it took some time, but it was well worth it. So let me know what you think of what I do, good, bad, or indifferent. Let me know if you got some strategies and techniques to easier find cards in your gigantic collections or inventories. Maybe you're doing something that I don't know about that might even work better for me, and I'd love to hear that. Send me an email, direct message, and share back, and maybe I can utilize what you bring to the table in a future show. Maybe like an update to this, like, hey, you know, Bill from so-and-so does this and it works for him, and I actually adopted it myself, something like that. So we love the feedback. If you enjoy the show, give us a positive review on any platform you listen to the show. Follow us on our Twitter at Hits Hobby, HitsHobby, and on Instagram at Hobby Quick Hits Podcast. And so we went a little bit long and compared to most shows, but I didn't want to skip nothing. I didn't want to leave anything out, and I wanted to be thorough. So we hope you're doing well and healthy and remain that way, and we'll see you when we see you. Take care.
Happy trails to you. Till we meet.